You're listening to Comedy Central.
Also, when I got out of my relationship, one of my friends, again, white person, again, fine. All right? Fine. She decided she wanted to introduce me to somebody, and she's just like, oh my God, Mia, I have met the perfect guy for you. And then I was like, tell me more. And she said, he's either in his late 40s or his early 60s. I said, tell me less. She shows me his picture. He is at least 75. And I am not, all right? And I was like, hey, my eyes are brown and have hope, all right? His eye color is cataracts. I was like, why did you try to set us up? I said, we don't look like we're in the same age range. And she goes, I gotta be honest with you, I'm not really good at telling black people's ages, which, no, it's fine. It's due to like a combination of skin care and reparations. It's on Wikipedia, but like that's, I saw it. I saw the article. I wrote it. But that's all that's what happened. So I told her though, I said, you should have been able to look at him and look at me and know that only one of us had gone through the civil rights movement. Okay? And let me just say this. I respect the movement and everything that it's done for my life, but I'm not gonna date anybody who had to fight for my freedom. You can't win arguments against that dude. He's been through too much shit, all right? Like, I can't talk to him the way I would somebody my age. I can't walk in the house and be like, hey, what you been doing all day? You didn't wash these dishes? And he'll be like, bitch, did you get to vote? I'm just asking, huh? Like, nah, how was that nice integrated lunch you had earlier today? You got to sit at the counter, didn't you? You're welcome. He's like, I can't even pressure wash the house without a flashback, but you're gonna ask me about some dishes. Okay, all right. You're disrespectful. And I'll be like, I am so sorry, Mr. Calvin. You have to say Mr. It's very important. It's the right thing to do.
Stand Up with Chris DiStefano, episode number 28. That's how old I'll be in 18 years. Stay tuned for that. It's Nicole Boyce. I'm Chris DiStefano's producer and hopefully the person who inherits all of his Lululemon, fingers crossed. We have an incredible episode for you today. I know I always say that. This one is truly incredible. The other ones were also incredible. This one is also there. I just want to make clear that this one is also incredible. We have an interview with Mia Jackson, who just recorded her half hour, and you actually just heard a snippet from her. So if you liked that, you know the deal. Stick around for the interview where we talk about the half hour, her experience doing that. And we're also going to play half hours from Will Miles and Amy Schumer, and then a clip chosen by Mia Jackson herself. Little guest DJ there. Very exciting. But before we begin, Webster's Dictionary defines stand-up as, just kidding. My Instagram handle is Nicole W. Boyce. You guys know the drill. Also, check out Chris DiStefano's podcast, History of Hyenas, if you are missing Chris during these half-hour episodes. It's crazy that anyone lets me talk ever at all. Let's play some stand-up.
Y'all fuck with HPV? Felt like a weird icebreaker. I like it. I don't know. What if you do? A third of you do, statistically. No. I feel good. I don't have it, I don't think. If you were wondering. I feel pretty good. My weight fluctuates a lot, so it's good. I feel good. I don't know. I go anywhere from like 150 to 250 on a given day. Anybody else like that? No, just me. I can't tell. It gets so bad now that my weight has become a measure of time. Like, I saw a friend of mine, another comedian. His name is Big Keef. He's obviously a black comedian. And I hadn't seen him in years, and I walked over, I saw him, and he saw me at a comedy club. He was like, damn, nigga, I ain't seen you since you was fat, skinny, and then fat again. I was like, yeah, you could have just said like 3 years, man. This is kind of hurtful way to do it, but whatever. I do commercials a lot, so it helps that I'm chubby every now and then. And that I have black, I'm black, curly hair, chubby, so obviously I go into commercials where it's like, this tastes good. Like, that's, is this just a burger? This is different than a burger. This got bacon on it. But I go into auditions, and that's usually what I do, where I like walk in and then pretend to try a burger and then like move forward. Sometimes though, I go in auditions and they have no words at all. Like, they'll be like, can you just show us how you smile? And then I walk in, I go, because I forget what part they want me for, but I want the part of like the small little white girl in the commercial. Because that looks so much fun. I want that role. I love weed more than anything, though. All right, good. Throw that on stage right now. Just kidding. But I love weed. Weed is the best thing, and I love it so much. It's gotten me able to talk to you guys. Like, I don't know. It's just, I wouldn't be able to function without it, and that sounds like addict behavior, and it's true. I'm an addict. Yeah, I have a problem. I knew I was high earlier today because I was watching the news, and that was the first clue. But I could really tell I was high because I was watching the news and I said out loud to no one, man, this is a pretty good episode. Feels like a high thing to say, right? Like, I never seen this one before. This makes the whole season make sense. I didn't even know. I love weed, though. I go to cities now exclusively where weed is legal. As a comic, like, you can do that now. There's like 33 states where weed's legal. You can go to all those states and just weed is legal there. It's great. I also go to cities and states where weed is not legal. So, whatever. But, I mean, I'm here right now. If you have weed, I will smoke it. It's no different. I'll just do it illegally and it's more fun. But I was just in D.C. recently, and in D.C., weed is 100% legal, but you cannot buy or sell weed. Right? That's weird. You can possess weed, but you can't buy or sell weed in all of Washington, D.C. You just have to have it. So like, you can grow it, you can own it. A lot of times you have to give it as a gift. Like, you can have weed, but you have to get it as a gift, which means you have to buy other shit, and then they give you the weed. That's the rule in the law where they make laws in D.C. This is the law. So like, I bought a Chinese proverb for $60. And that just made sense, I guess. But they did it like a regular drug deal too, where like I walked outside and dude was like, yo, you will? And I was like, yeah, I'm will. And he was like, cool, cool, cool. When the wind blows, only a few trees fall. That'll be $60. And I was like, all right, here you go. And then he gave me a gift of weed. That's the dumbest shit in the whole world. Because I called somebody else too while I was there, just a regular drug dealer, and I called him, and I tried to get weed initially because I didn't know the law at first. And then they were like, I was like, yo, sell me some weed real quick. That's how I call people. And anytime I get a robocall, I just go, yo, sell me some weed real quick. I don't care. But so I called somebody, I was like, yo, let me get some weed. And he was like, whoa, bro, I can't sell you weed. What do you think this is? I can't sell you weed at all, that's illegal. What I can do, though, is come to your house and dance half the whip nay nay for $60. Then he rolls up like a regular drug dealer again and he goes, you will? Yeah. Cool. $60, please. Here's your gift of weed.
It's really hard. I've been drinking a ton. You guys drinkers? Yeah. Thank you. Good. She's like, no, actually, I have my together. I hope your car flips over. But no, you're cute. But I do. I drink so much. And I black out when I drink. Isn't that the worst? No, your mind goes to sleep, but your body's like, tonight is my night. It sucks. Nothing good ever happens in a blackout. I've never woken up and been like, what is this Pilates mat doing out? You guys, never. I've never like rolled over and been like, who's this fella, Leonardo DiCaprio? Like, maybe in What's Eating Gilbert Grape. I'm like, who is gonna roll this out the door? But no, I have an excuse, actually, why I've been drinking so much. I haven't said this out loud yet. This is exciting. I'm drinking for two. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. I mean, just for now, but... somebody's being evicted. You guys are bad. You guys are bad. It's a weird time. My late 20s, New York, like my friends are just starting to keep them. And it's hard. They're calling me. It's a weird age. They're like, hey, I'm pregnant. And I still don't know whether to be like, congratulations, or do you need a ride? Like, what? Where are we, you know? It's weird. And there's nothing more awkward, all right, nothing, than going to the first birthday party of a little girl when you told her mom to get rid of her. Because the kid can tell. The kid, I'm like, here's Tickle Me Elmo. She's like, f*** you. I'm like, oh my God. I stand by my decision. No, she's cute.
That was Will Miles and Amy Schumer. And now I'm sitting here with Mia Jackson, who just recorded her half hour for Comedy Central.
Yay.
Sitting down with me for an exclusive interview. You just recorded your half hour. Now you're doing a 15-minute interview with the world famous podcast Stand Up with Chris DiStefano. Which one is more nerve-wracking?
All of it is nerve-wracking. I can't even all of it is nerve-wracking because it's all, you know, it's like this is the promotion stuff. So
yeah.
It's like
you're like in promotion mode.
Yeah,
now.
You're putting your stuff out there for people.
Yeah. Are you excited? So. Have you had TV stuff before? Or is this your first TV?
Yeah, I've had some TV stuff
okay,
before.
Cool.
Yeah. I should have done
my fucking research. Jesus.
No, you're totally fine. No. You want me to tell you what it was?
Please tell us.
So I did I was on Last Comic Standing.
Okay.
A few years ago.
Okay, incredible.
What else? Last year, I did a thing on Epics, so I did it was kind of like a mini special / documentary kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that was fun.
Docs are very hot right now.
Yeah, so I got to sit down and answer comedy questions. My family was at the show, so they got to be on.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, so you can see me like hugging my parents and stuff.
I love that.
So just a bunch of random stuff I've done. Over the years, yeah. But those are like the most recent things. Yeah.
Did you bring people out to New Orleans with you to record the half hour?
Yeah. So my family, they came to that. My mom and dad, my sister, one of my friends who was with me like when I first ever decided to do stand-up. She was like, oh, I'm coming.
Oh,
she's like,
God.
I am coming.
Oh.
Yeah, we used to work together and I used to be like, I think I want to do stand-up. And then she's like, you should totally do it. And she recorded my first ever set ever.
Oh my gosh.
And she's like, we're coming. We're going to be there. Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah,
oh my God, I'm so glad. You have those jokes about your family too in your half hour.
I do, yeah.
Do they like being joked about? Do they have a say?
Well, I think my dad enjoys it. I think he likes it because he will come with me sometimes to shows.
Uh-huh.
And when I am selling my merch, which is not very often because I normally forget it, but if it's about him and if I have him sitting there and I'm like, oh, this is who that joke's about, I will sell more
because
they're like, this is the guy. And they're like, this is him.
Oh,
and then,
my God. That's a great tip.
Yeah. And he sits back all proud like, yeah, that's me.
I'm made famous from
I'm
the joint.
Yeah.
Do you have like a process before you record? Like what was it like before, after doing that half hour?
Oh, gosh. So before. I
assume very different.
It was just, before it was just running the set as much as I could.
And yeah,
just
yeah.
bothering people all over the place, being like, hey, like, can I do a set on your show?
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
and there were a lot of people. They were like, oh, come do my show. Like, come yeah. here and come yeah. do this. And I'm like, oh, my God. So, and then, like, the week going into it,
uh-huh.
I was back in Atlanta, which is pretty much where I started. And
okay,
so
cool. Okay.
A lot of people there, like, come close out a show. So
okay.
I got to do a lot of sets that week.
Were those, like, half-hour sets?
Yeah. And I was straight
oh.
up telling people,
you were
like,
getting
look.
Getting half-hour spots.
Yeah, I was
Dude.
Like, if I close out the show, can I do 30 minutes? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow, good
so
for you for getting
fun.
That.
Yeah.
And then what's it like, what did you feel like after? You feel good? You feel...
Yeah. Like, it was a thing where it's like, we got this one shot.
Yeah.
Got to tape this. I got to get it out. And in my head, like, because I will write down my set list. And back in the day, I used to actually write on my hand, and it was awful, and I would have stuff off. But then I finally started going, I should write on paper. But
oh,
in my
level
head.
Level up,
yeah.
To paper.
Know,
okay.
You know, got
oh,
napkins.
Got big time. Okay.
Got to napkins. So, you know, I try to do what I can.
Yeah.
And then, like, in my head, I just kind of was like, oh, I know what the set is. Like, I know it. And I kept telling myself, like, you know these
it.
Jokes.
You you've feel been, it in your heart.
You've been doing this. You
yeah.
know the order. You know what you want to say.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I felt pretty good in the room. Like, it felt like a fun.
It was fun.
Taping.
I remember
yeah.
listening to it. I loved it. It was very fun. We
Thank
also
you.
Played a clip earlier in this episode, so the listeners yeah. have also heard you.
so much stress. So much pressure.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I can't. Yeah. The feeling after, I mean, is just...
Yeah. It was just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty just much like, all I could do over. And I'm like, I did it. It's finished.
Yeah. How long were you working
yeah.
on that material for?
Oh, I'm trying to think. There were a couple of jokes that were probably maybe a couple of months old. But
oh,
then,
okay.
Yeah, there
oh,
was
wow.
some. There was some that I went, oh, I really like these jokes. And in
yeah.
the past couple of months, they had been doing... you know, pretty well. So I was like, I think I'm going to put...
You're going to wing it?
I'm going to put those in there. Yeah. And then
oh
I'm like,
God.
I'm going to try it.
You're
and
crazy. Oh, my God.
It's so... Because one of the jokes, I think... one of, I don't know if it's... You know, I don't know if it's in there now, but one of the jokes that I did, I now have a whole different ending for.
Okay.
A whole different ending for it. But yeah, there were a couple that were newish, and then the rest of it was just stuff that... You know, you work on material for years, and then
oh,
you're like,
yeah.
let me pick the best stuff. So some
yeah.
of the jokes in there probably, some of them probably like, you know, because I tried to go with the most evergreen kind of stuff,
sure.
not really anything topical.
Sure. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Yeah, some of them might have been like 4 years old, you know, but jokes that I'd just been
right.
doing over and over that had never been recorded on
right.
anything.
Yeah. Well, because people listening, I mean, you can watch, you know, on the CC app, on Comedy Central website, you can listen to it evergreen. So it's
yes.
good to have that evergreen,
yes.
topical,
yeah.
not topical material.
Yeah. Just like, what's the stuff that's, like, what's the most relatable? You know, like,
yeah.
what's relatable that this joke could be, this could have been done 5 years ago
yeah.
or it could have been done yesterday,
yes.
that kind of thing.
Timeless,
yeah.
golden
yeah.
material.
You know, we hope it was golden.
And you said you started in Atlanta, is that what you said?
Yeah. So I started in Athens, Georgia,
oh,
which is about...
I'm familiar.
Why?
I actually have like 4 friends from there. It's
Get
weird.
Out of here.
Yeah.
How?
It's your family.
You know people from Athens, Georgia?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Oh my God. So I went to school there. So
oh,
I
okay.
To, yeah, I went to University of Georgia. And then first started popping on some open mics there, and then but
okay.
like when I really started in earnest, it was in
yeah.
Atlanta. Yeah.
What caused? So if you like did open mics, and then you're like, okay, I'm starting. Was that what was that decision like? Like it was just like I think I'm good at this. I think
yeah.
I could get a half hour one down Comedy Central. I think I'm gonna do this.
How do you know what it was? You know, I don't even know what I thought at the beginning. I
uh-huh.
think it was just like. Oh, I think I'm funny. I want to get on stage. Like, I don't even know if I
yeah.
thought, like, it would end up in, like, oh, I'd have a
sure.
special. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
you're just like, I think I'm hilarious. Yeah. You don't even know what you
yeah.
can what you can do. But, yeah, I think at some point I'm like, I want this to be on TV somewhere.
I want people to see this.
I want somebody to see this.
Beyond open mics.
Yeah. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
What's your sign?
My sign. I'm a Cancer.
Wait, me too.
When is your birthday?
Shut up.
When's
July 7th.
Mine is July 19th.
Oh my God, a late Cancer. Almost a Leo.
I'm on the cusp. I'm a cusp.
A Leo, Cancer, cusp. Oh my God.
I know. So I have a little bit of the nurturing, but then also I'm like, oh, that Leo attention seeking.
Well, that's what stand-up is. Do you stand up to, like, is that like an attention satisfying thing for you?
It is, yeah. Because I think, and I've had to come to terms with that recently, where I was like, oh no, God. I was like, I'm not the kind of, I'm like, I don't like attention. Then I was like, oh wait,
I do stand up. Yeah,
that is wanting attention. I just don't like attention in other parts of life. You know what I mean? Like I don't, because I was actually just thinking about a lot of stuff recently, and I for example, my high school, like our alumni association, all of a sudden is like, we want to be active, we're going to start doing stuff, blah blah blah. So it's been these groups on Facebook where people been going back and forth, and it started bringing back all these memories from high school. And then I was like oh, that's right, I was like, I never really, like, I was around, but I never really talked, like, I wasn't like a loud person, you know, I wasn't a and I was like, oh, is that what stand-up is doing, where I'm like, I'm trying to satisfy this need to where I was always kind of hanging out in the background, and I'm just like, oh, this is my way to be like, here's my voice, you guys. Yeah.
Okay.
Just recently. Yeah, I was like, oh!
All those years in the back of the classroom.
In the back of the, oh, yeah.
And like, then, like, the class clowns. Yeah. What are they all doing now?
Yeah.
Like, not this.
They're not doing stand-up.
Yeah. Let me tell you that.
No. I can't think of too many people I know that. I know that do comedy that said they were class clowns. There's a few, but not a whole lot. Yeah.
Can you something? I feel like stand-ups, you like have something a little bit off in the beginning, and that maybe is what causes the attention. Just like a little bit.
Oh, something's wrong for sure.
Yeah.
Something's like, definitely wrong.
Like, I'm gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that. JK.
Not at all.
My flaw is that I'm gay. No. But I feel like the class clown thing, I don't know. You have to have such a good childhood to be a class clown.
Yeah,
like,
I just...
Everything has to be going your way.
Yeah, and like, I'm trying to, like...
imagine.
Yeah, like, people I knew over the years, you know, that when they would name that superlative, like, all of those people, they were, like, you know, they were popular, and they were, you know, they weren't afraid to be, like, at, you know, assemblies and stuff, and be, you know, just loud, and I would just kind of be like... I would have comments under my breath, but not the loud.
I used to make jokes, like quiet comments in school, and then people next to me would say them louder, and they would get the laugh. How fucked up is that?
All right.
That's stealing disgusting.
Stealing your thunder.
Yeah.
How
oh, my God.
Dare
and
they?
I'm still talking about it today. So
how
obviously
dare they?
It really affected me.
See? We're going deep right now. We're going deep.
I know, it took me 5 minutes to ask about high school. What did you have a superlative? Did you?
No, I was just there. I was just there. I mean, like, I did. I was on the basketball team, and I was terrible.
Most likely to just be there.
I was just most likely to be there. I did play soccer, though.
Okay, cool.
I was the goalie, and I did win. What was it? I mean, it wasn't a superlative for the yearbook, but I did win most valuable player.
Oh my
God!
Last year. I had no idea. Yeah. I was sitting with the most valuable soccer player.
Yeah, I was. I was the goalie.
Oh my gosh. Most valuable player as a goalie.
Yeah.
That's a very specific, really good talent.
Super specific. I mean, listen, it was because my team was relatively new and we were pretty awful.
Dang.
So I kept the score from being completely ran up on us.
You held them. You're the only reason they got anywhere.
I mean, you know, I hate to say it, but thank you for acknowledging.
Finally.
Finally,
justice,
thank you.
Your high school soccer team.
It's about time someone said it.
I'm so glad. Did you have to cut anything, do you think, from your half hour that you... Did they make you cut anything for, like, the censors or anything? Does that still happen? I think it does.
No, there wasn't anything I got any feedback on.
Okay.
I think there might have been maybe, like, a brand name, maybe, that might have been, like, oh... I think I had a question, like, oh, can I say it? And then they were like, yeah, it's fine because you aren't... You know, they're like, hey, you know, did this thing actually happen for real? Well, then, yeah, you can say it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
And it was a thing that happened for real. So.
That was great.
Yeah.
Did you hang out in New Orleans for a while when you were there?
No, what did I do? No. You know what? First of all,
soccer tournament.
No, what happened? I was in Atlanta, and I was supposed to catch a flight to New Orleans, the flight got canceled because of the weather. And so I then had to rent a car. I had to drive halfway the night before I was supposed to be. Not the night before I taped, but the night that I was supposed to be in town.
Right, yeah.
Had to just stay at like a hotel in Montgomery, Alabama, and then get up the next morning and drive the rest of the way. And then I had to like drop the car off at the airport. Then like whatever my original ride was. They're like, oh, we'll pick you from the airport. I'm like, oh, I got to drop this car off first. So then you come pick me up. And then
change your plans.
Right. And then I ended up.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I was like, I cannot believe this. I mean, because it was like the first flight got canceled. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, you know, we'll send updates on whether or not you'll be on another flight or you can take this next flight in the morning. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to. Let me just. So yeah. So I rented a car. Yeah, and drove.
Look, problem solving. That's the critical thinking that only a stand-up half-hour set haver can have.
Yeah, you know what? It was, and when I got on there, I was like, yeah, I drove. And everybody's like, what? And they're like, you drove? They're like, you didn't fly? And I'm like, I couldn't. Like, all the flights got canceled.
Oh,
yeah. So it was a lot of, I'm like, this would happen right before.
Yeah, of course.
I tape. Of course it would.
Of course.
Of course it would.
Well, it turned out incredible. I couldn't tell. I had no idea.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sitting down with me.
No, thank you for having me. I as a former MVP, I cannot tell you.
Yeah.
No, this is great.
This has truly been an honor.
No.
And of course, you can make sure to catch all of Mia's Half Hour tomorrow, November 1st at 11:30 p.m. on Comedy Central, of course.
Yeah.
And right now we're going to play a clip that you've selected from Roy Wood Jr., who you said a favorite of yours.
Yes, he's the best. He's the best. He's so good.
All right.
Well, oh, my God.
Let's take a listen. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
They try to divide us on television, you know. But it's a lot of people that aren't black that's standing on the right side of issues that affect us. I appreciate those folks, you know. They don't get highlighted enough. Plenty of people out there that care about black stuff. I haven't seen them, man. I went to a black history museum. I had a white tour guide. Hey, it threw me off for a second. I turned to the brother that was on the tour with me. I'm like, is this the dude? He gonna do it? It was a white dude. It was a white dude telling me about my shit. And he was good. I was trying to hate on him. By the end of the tour, I was like, yo, bro, you did your thing, man. Straight up fan. You do what you do. Hey, real quick, let me give you one of these wristbands real quick. Yeah, put that on. In case you go down, you want to wear that wristband. Mm-hmm. You got to respect a white person working at a Black History Museum. You got to respect that. That was a choice. He white. He could work anywhere. He chose Black History Museum. You know that job interview was a son of a bitch. How many extra questions did he have to answer? Because you black and old, it ain't shit to work at a Civil Rights Museum. You just walk in. That's me on the picture. What you filling out paperwork for? You on the wall. But if you white, you know, they grilling that dude. Asking them all kinds of questions. They had nothing to do with black history, all in that dude's face. Paperwork looks good. Everything checks out. Real quick, at what temperature do you deep fry catfish? Mm-hmm. 350? That's what, okay. That's what, okay. I know some folks got a problem with that. You don't want a white person at a Black History Museum. I understand that. Here's the thing. I'm not saying they're better than a black tour guide. I think a black tour guide at a Civil Rights Museum, I think they're better equipped to speak on the experience because they might have lived that life. They can speak to certain exhibits from a perspective that nobody else can. I just think if you go to a Black History Museum and you got a black tour guide, you need to go in the morning while he's still in a good mood. That brother is stressed. You can't walk around slavery all day for 8 hours and not cuss at somebody. Somebody getting cussed. You gotta catch him at 9 a.m. He just finished that McGriddle. How y'all doing? My name is Charles. It's my pleasure to take you on this journey. Look at these exhibits right here. Black history is American history. Come look at the exhibits. You think that brother gonna be in a good mood at 4:30? He been staring at slavery? That dude liable to cuss out everybody. Look at this shit. Come look what you done to us. Come look what you done to us. Look what you... Get your ass out my museum, motherfucker. You go to the gift shop, it's just people crying. That's horrible. That's scary.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.